Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, you are on the air.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, welcome to the show, y'all. This is Gene Baas, and he's going to be speaking about finances, how to actually build your financial career, you know, and change your life, you know what I mean, for the better. He's a professional in the insurance field. He believes that people are able to take control of their financial futures by knowing how to do it. Gene will show you how to create a nest egg for you and your family. Under his guidance, he will be able to create a healthier financial future. Enjoy the show. Welcome to a healthy and solid financial future. At this moment, I'm going to actually bring in Gene so he actually can start, you know, his introduction and let the people know, you know, why he's here on this platform and what he can do to actually change people's lives for the better. Gene, you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. I'm here.
Oh, there you go. It's all you. That's the ball roll.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Let's Discuss Finances. I'm your host of the show, and here you will learn how to save money, how to diversify your savings, and learn some financial secrets that are designed to change your financial future. How to create a legacy, which is essential for yourself and your family and the future going forward. And always remember, I'm available. You can book an appointment to meet with me privately, whether it's on Zoom or in person, on 1-855-411-0424. I'll say it again, 1-855-411-0424. Now, last week, for those of you who was on last week, we discussed a number of topics at a high level, and tonight I want to break it down for us. For those people who had questions but did not ask their questions, and for those people who was too shy to ask their questions, I got a number of emails and texts regarding the show and what was said on the show, and I'm pleased with the response that I got. So I'm willing to share those responses with everyone as follows. What are the basic financial decisions that we have to make? The basic. Some people would see that as a challenging question. But in the realm of your life, this is every day planning your future, living your life. How do you do it? There are 11 things, six of them I find to be most important, and I would like to share them with you. Number one, building an emergency fund. Building an emergency fund says to me that you need to have between 6 to 8 months of your current income, your current monthly income, put away, stashed away, okay? That's very, very important. Investing for retirement. We're all looking forward to our golden years, I'm sure. And one of the things that we have to look forward to is when we get to our golden years, where will we be financially? Last week I spoke about spending power versus saving power. This week I want to take it a little further and discuss tax implications when it comes to retirement. The next topic will be create a debt payoff strategy. We all have debt, some sort of debt, but how do we pay it off? How do we live a debt-free life? There's a number of things that we may want, admire, envision in our future, but we don't have the ability or we don't see it fit to consider how we're going to get there before the time arrives, before that need arises. The next thing that's very, very important, especially in this day and age, improving your credit history and your credit score. Most of you know that to buy a car, to buy a home, unless you're buying cash, which in our community is not often heard of, we have to borrow. And when we borrow, our credit becomes a factor. And that factor is very important to know where we are financially, how bankable are we before we get in front of that mortgage professional or that loan officer or that car salesman. We need to know how bankable are we. It's very important that we understand our credit and our credit score and what affects our credit score from improving. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Tracking spending and net worth. What are you worth? Are you at your full potential? Are you spending money because you have the ability to buy things? Are you spending the money on impulse, or are you spending based on necessities? Many of our young people and older people, we spend on impulse. But the question is, do we have the resources to be spending on impulse? How much more are we spending by shopping on impulse versus planning, budgeting before we shop? What are we worth? Are we worth $50,000, $60,000, $80,000, or is there the ability of another employer to give us more, where we can do more, where we can see more, where we can take better advantage of our finances, okay? Where we can use our experiences to improve ourselves, where we can think about going back to school and educating ourselves and developing ourselves further. The next topic would be continuing your financial legacy. You may want to have a family. You may have a family. How do you support that family? What will you do to have that family financially sustained? What do we need to do to be able to save and contribute to our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren's future? Most of us, we want to have a family. We talk about our family. But are we actually thinking constructively as to how we will raise this family, how we will develop this family? Because it's very important that we put a legacy in place. We leave something when we depart this earth. There's other financial decisions to figure out. Number 7, what our goals are. Are we pursuing those goals? Are we just sitting back and allowing someone to make decisions for us because we're not financially equipped to do it for ourselves? And these are things that we have to take into consideration. These are things that we have to look at on a wide scale. These are things that we must consider when we're making life-changing decisions. Is it your decision or is it someone else's decision? Of course, it's your money, you work it, or however you earn it. But are you the driver behind how that money will be diversified, will be available to you, your family, your children, your grandchildren. Number eight is, are you going to be married or not? A lot of people say, well, I want to be married, but I want to have a house. Okay, well, you can have a house, and you can be married. Sure. Some people say, I don't want to be married. Now I ask yourself the question, did you make the necessary provision, not what you hear or what you think, you make the necessary provision for your marriage? It comes with a cost. Have you saved enough to have the wedding you'd like to have? Have you considered if you're going to have a family, what it's going to take? What is your contribution, or what are you prepared to contribute? In the first 5 years, according to statistics, the first 5 years of a marriage tells if it's going to work or not. 90% of marriages dissolve over financial issues. So what are you doing for yourself? Number nine, will you own a home? If you're going to own a home, how are you going to own the home? Are you going to put a large down payment on the property? Are you going to put a small down payment on the property? Are you looking to own the home in another 15 years? But life happens, so we don't know. So you go and take a 30-year mortgage and pay $1,200 a month, 1 year payment additional to the mortgage. How much will it cut down the interest on that property over time? How much sooner you'll be able to own that property? Did we take those things into consideration? Or we just said, 30-year mortgage, I'll pay it off in 30 years. Life happens. What happens at 20 years? What happens in 15 years? If you have a crystal ball, please share. I don't know. I would love to know. Having a child or multiple children is a financial cost associated with it. That child has to be clothed. That child has to be fed. Those are normal. The abnormal, that child has to be educated. Not because you were not in the unique situation where you grew into a family that had it financially, and they were able to provide for you or not provide for you, and you were able to take loans. Think about if you had scholarships, your expenses will all pay for your education, how much further you will be financially. Think about the different setbacks you have because you have student loans, because you have debt, educational debt. I mean, the current president of the United States of America doing a great job in trying to eliminate some student loans. But we don't know what the next president is going to do, and we don't know what's going to happen over the next 2 decades. Would that still be available? Are we planning for those? Are we putting those in place? The 11th one is, what is your retirement plan maybe? What are you planning to do? You plan to move to a foreign country? You want to go live in Spain? You want to go live in the Caribbean? You want to go live in Europe? Where you want to live? We need to have a clear-cut understanding of where our future is and where we would like it to go. And covering these 11 topics, considering these 11 topics will help you make the best financial decisions that I have found. The best way to make the decisions are by evaluating each of these 11 points and see where you are. You have to set goals. You got to start a budget. You have to find ways to save. You cannot move without doing research, getting the information that you need. You must consider and calculate your risk. Must calculate your risk. Everything comes with its fair share of risk. It's bad enough that we try hard to stick to a financial plan. Life happens, things change, and we derail from one objective to another. Without that mindset of the 11 bullet points I gave you earlier, where will you be and where will your family be financially? That is very, very paramount. So I'm saying tonight that we'll have a lovely, lovely discussion on the decisions that we make. Some of them are bad. And you know what I tell you that make bad decisions? You're not the first and you wouldn't be the last. It wouldn't be the first bad decision you make and it wouldn't be the last bad decision you make. Learn from it. Learn from that decision. Fix it. How would you fix it? Instead of not paying your debt, pay your debt. And if it goes to collection, make a payment plan and pay them. Okay? Filing bankruptcy is an option. But do everyone qualify to file bankruptcy? When you file bankruptcy, you got the minimum of a 7-year hit on your credit, on your life. How do you fix it? Some people want to buy a truck just so they could drive a big car. But they don't have a big family and they don't have uses for the truck besides just driving up and down. In the old days, that truck, some would call it a gas guzzler. You spend more at the pump than you achieve in the usage of that car. Some people want to buy a house and they say, I don't want no tenants. I don't want nobody living below me. I don't want the headache of a tenant. But they go and buy a 4 or 5 or 6 bedroom house. Did they consider how that house is going to be heated? Did they consider how much electricity they're going to burn? Don't buy too much house and too much car because of capital expenditure is what we need to talk about. How do we minimize your capital expenditure? Not investing in your retirement is a very, very bad thing. I think that everyone should invest in their retirement because we're bound to get old. Regardless of how little we start with, my friend, regardless of how little we start, we should have something somehow put away for our retirement. I like to advise my clients against taking loans. If you have to take a loan to buy something, furniture, do you really need it right now? Why not save for it and save the interest? Make the sacrifice. When you have interest rate 16, 23, 35% interest rate, come on. Finance charges. Why don't we save our money and buy what we want? Cash. Cash and carry. Cash is king. You know why cash is king? It has no attachments to it. Why do we constantly carry a credit card balance? I'll share with you. If you was to pay a credit card down to 30% of the high credit, you would see what would happen to your credit score. But I believe in paying a credit card one for one. If I use $100 on a credit card, I pay it off at the end of the month for $100. If I don't have the $100 to pay it at the end of the month, don't use the card. My credit card is to build credit, not for everyday usage. And I need people to understand that, because credit cards plays a vital role in your credit history. And it makes you aware when you go or attempt to do something, then you get that shock that there's a problem with your credit. Your score is not where you think it should be. Let's fix it as a people. Don't ignore your credit report. Don't ignore your credit scores. There's a number of different avenues you can get your credit report from. Number of different avenues you can get your credit report from. Fix it. Get a copy. Get constant notification. There's a lot of theft going on, identity theft. There's a number of different things happening out there. People could be establishing credit in your name and you don't know, but you didn't take the time to find out so you could nip it in the bud as soon as it happened. The next one is a very touchy subject. Co-signing a loan for someone else. I got good news and bad news. The good news is, don't do it. Never do it. The bad news is, someone not going to like you. Oh, well. You're thinking about a future. You're thinking about leaving a legacy for your family. You're thinking about your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. The risk in life-changing events that you have no control over that can ruin your credit and your future is the number one aspect being a guarantor for someone who's signing on a loan, any loan. And it's not limited to co-signing for someone to get an apartment. You have to look at your risk. The risk factor is what many of us doesn't look at and cause us to be in financial constraints. Allowing others to influence you without you doing your own research. You cannot allow anyone to influence your decision, my friends. If you say no, no. If you say yes, yes. But unless you know what you're getting involved in, please, my friend, under no circumstances should you get involved with surrendering your credit, doing anything that's involved in your credit, unless you are absolutely sure. How do you recover from bad financial decisions? How do you recover? So before tonight, you co-sign for someone. Before tonight, you ignore your credit. Before tonight, you just spend on your credit card and pay the minimum payment. Before tonight, you finance your car. You know, you didn't worry about your retirement. How do you recover? You have to stay calm and gather your composure. You have to compose yourself. It's the only way. There's no other way. Try to reverse the mistake if possible. Try to reverse the mistake if possible. Consider your options. Consider your options and start planning for the future. It's never too late. A wise man once said, there's no sleeping money. Money does not sleep. Money is spent 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There is no sleeping money. And if there's no sleeping money, then I would ask you to consider starting to plan for your future. The next item is a touchy item. And it's a touchy item because I've seen it have guided many people when it comes to finances and business. And that is letting your emotions guide you. Do not let your emotions guide you. Not because Tom did it or John did it or Sam did it or Harry did it. It's okay for you. Think about your risk. Consider your plans. Think daily about the decision you are about to make to make to leave a legacy and a brighter future for your family, for your next generation. Don't feel bad by the mistakes you made. Mistakes are also the best lesson. Learn from them. Learn from your mistakes. Cut your losses and move forward. Cut your losses and move forward. There is many people that are millionaires that have done a lot of things, lost a lot, gained a lot. They made bad decisions, and they got over them. Move forward. Get out of the pits. Protect yourself with future decisions. Make more future decisions. Think about your future. And make better decisions on your future. With this being said, I will open the floor for any questions and answers. Any questions where I can provide answers thus far. Is there any questions? Open.
So I have 8979 if you want to ask any questions. 8979. Okay. About 5'9", 6'5". Any questions? 5'9", 6'5".
Greetings. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can hear you. Greetings. How you doing today?
I'm good. This is Dr. Winborn. How's everybody doing? Just calling, enjoying the show.
Awesome, sir. And good to have you.
Hello, Dr. Winborn.
Greetings. What's going on, my brother? I'm not going to hold up. I just wanted to, call in, give a couple of words of encouragement. You got a packed house. So you got a lot of people that's calling in, and I'm sure they have a lot of questions. So I don't want to take up all the time, but I'm enjoying the show. Keep up the good work. And I look forward to this being a long and prosperous and rewarding relationship like we did back in the day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Awesome.
All right. Back to you guys.
Okay. So I got line 2236. I got line 2236. You got any comments or anything you want to say? All right. So we'll come back to you.
Yeah, you know, I got a suggestion that maybe you want to call them out, starting with the area code, so that they could get ready,
okay.
Like 914530. 914530, get ready. We're about to open up your mic.
Okay. 914530-3314. All right, we got, about to open your mic, 470-579-0902.
Welcome, your mic is open. Welcome to the Eugene Financial Awareness Show. All right, they're
Hello?
Probably just listeners. All right.
Got
Hello.
You. So I go on to the next one.
All right.
So I got line 678-485-9196. Welcome to the Gene Financial Show. Are you with me? Yes, listening. You got a packed house there.
Yes, I'm just listening and taking in all the information.
Awesome. Awesome. Great to have you.
Thanks.
Great to have you.
Thank you so much.
So we have line 770-615-8733, 705-68-2384. Any comments? Justin? Pack house,
yeah. All right, we got a pack house. We got
a lot of listeners tonight. Yeah. Got some listeners tonight. Yeah. We got some got 973.
Okay.
Hello?
Nope. I ain't saying nothing.
Okay,
don't call me.
No. Got how about 347-401-1151? Got anything to say? Want to come into the show? No. Last of the Mohicans. We got 973-592-5087. We got a lot of listeners tonight. So.
All right, well, I guess no one have any questions. I can go forward with the rest of my discussion.
Yeah, so I wanted to say something. You know, the topic of the show is actually financial DNA, and it's actually, you know, looking at the DNA of our finances, you know, and what we build towards. So, you know, we go and we work jobs. What are we building towards? We working jobs. Are we building to get, you know, apartments, pay light, gas, you know, recurring liabilities. A lot of these things that we pay into are actually being used to create our lives. It's actually recurring liabilities. They're not actually assets. So, you know, building assets in our lives will allow us to keep a lot of liabilities off our back and not be drowned by all the different liabilities. You know, creditors and stores, they love you to go in there and spend money because your money is an asset to them, but it comes a liability to you once you use it. So I just wanted to, you know, put that out there from what I've gathered so far from what, you know, Eugene is talking about. And let's see the next point that Eugene's going to get to. Back to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Evans. Greatly appreciate it. I guess tonight we have a lot of listeners and very few questions, so I'll proceed forward. As a financial advisor and a financial educator, I like to educate my people about becoming financially literate, to find a financial professional like myself, okay? And again, for those who missed it, my number is 1-888-855-411-0424. 1-855-411-0424. I'm available to answer any questions on that number and help you with planning and sorting your financial DNA discovery. We need proper protection. We need an umbrella. We need a protection against loss of income. Everyone over the age of 18 needs that. Okay? Anyone below the age of 18 needs to be protected against their savings. They must be able to, they should be able to have a savings. Now, life happens. I know people get concerned. People do different things. And they're unable to keep up with their savings. I like IULs because it builds up a ton of cash. You're covered for a face value on an insurance policy. Yes. What if the inevitable happens prematurely? Is our youngsters, our youths, our young adults, are they covered? Are they protected? As parents, what provisions are we making for these situations when it arises? How do we maintain our dignity and pride during a crisis? And one of the things that I find that does it very well is by having the savings. It's very important for them to have a savings so you can use. And I give you a case in point. I know of a young lady, a baby, I would say it's a baby, 5 years old. on Saturday, went to a went to an audition on Saturday. Saturday night, she got recalled. They like her. They want her. Out of 200 children for this commercial, they wanted this child. Now, one would say, that is good, that is great, that child is getting a break. Guess what? Yes, you're right, but you're not totally right. That child have never performed on Broadway or Disney in L.A. That child has to be trained. That child has to be taught. There's no free lunch. That parent had to find the tuition for that child to be trained and to be manageable by an agent, to book jobs for that child, to do other commercials where that child would be able to be paid. Cost $16,000. When I heard it, I was in shock. But because of planning, proper planning, that parent took out an IUL for that child when the child was born. The child didn't have their first birthday. Now at 5 going on 6, that child's first encounter for a future cost $16,000. Now, would it be fair to say that that's one of the unexpected early disbursements that you want to have a future for your child? Where is that money coming from? Fortunately for that parent, they planned it well, that they are able, they're in a position to access that fee from her compulsory savings and life insurance policy. So at 5, last week we talked about milestones, 5, 10, 15, 16, 21, if you guys remember. Guess what? The 5 came dead smack in my face on Sunday when I learned that that parent got to pay $16,000 for this child. And the first thing the mother said, well, we took out an insurance policy. So how much money is in the insurance policy to pay for this? Because you told us that we can use it for education. It's not a loan, it's her money. She's able to save. And that parent have been putting extra money into the savings for that child. That they were able, when the documents were submitted yesterday, to access $15,800 for that child. So no, that child acting career is on the way, and yes, that acting career is now funded from savings that was done from birth. Originally, the conversation of saving between the parents and I was 16th birthday, the first call, going away for college. That's what we talked about when we took out the policy. Now, That's 5 years old, nearly 6 years old. Some of the money gone. And you keep rebuilding. That's when I say life happens, you never know. Now, Friday, that mother was just walking in Costco. When a scout saw her and the child in Costco and give the child a commercial line to know by 2 o'clock on Saturday. She got there. No one knows. It wasn't planned. A scout just saw the child, invite the child to an audition, and here we go. So, my friends, when I talk about saving, these are the mishaps or how we get caught blindsided and we're not prepared for it. An emergency fund. I mean, I lost a very good friend and the nearest and dearest to me. I know personally that family is okay because before she became very ill, she put things in place. She had a will. She had a beneficiary on her account. A beneficiary on her account. Many of us go and open a bank account and we don't think about when we die. God forbid something happens, we have to wait for probate court to assign a trustee because we didn't leave the necessary instrument in place. We didn't trust someone to assign them with the responsibility of taking care of your finances should something happen. Why gone are the days when, you know, we put out a hat and ask for money to help with final arrangements for people? No, they've gone to electronic GoFundMe page. Now the world knows. We have to be prepared for the unexpected and not just death or the expiration of our loved ones. Ourselves. There's other expenses that come along. How many of us do the simplest thing, take out flood insurance? You know what they said? You're not in a flood zone. But when a pipe breaks in your house or the sewage backup, how is it getting repaired? The insurance company not paying for it. Do you have a reserve fund available to you to take care of issues like that? I would like to say to every person, every person. Banks are giving mortgages to people 70 years and older in the United States of America. Everyone should be a homeowner. Landlords are raising rents. Property values are going up. Property does not spoil. Real estate does not spoil. You don't have to feed it. You must live someplace. Why not live in your own place? Why not pay you? Why not leave a legacy for your children and grandchildren? Why can't your children look forward to Thanksgiving? Christmas, Easter, all the nice, lovely family holidays, to be with daddy, with mommy, with grandma at the same address for 20 years, at the same address for 30 years. Why do we have such a setback of changing address? It's not our house. But we would like to have a home. How do we do it? Savings, compulsory savings. I like to look at debt management on a very serious, serious way. Look at your spending habits. Look at your spending habits. Curb your spending habits. How many things do you buy on a regular basis that you don't really have to buy? Not because you need it. You buy because you want it. Because someone else has it. You want to fit in. Well, why you need to fit in? You your own person. You have your own style. How can you strive to achieve a legacy for your family when you are what I call an impulsive spender? Spending recklessly. It is very important you know what you're spending on. Save that money. Put that money into a savings. Put it into a high yield account. Save. Put it in an annuity. A fixed or a variable index annuity. I don't like variable, to be honest. But it's available based on your needs. Okay? That's money for later. Okay? Save your money. Save those extended spending. Put the money into an account, a savings account. It will build up. You can roll it into a Roth IRA. Or a cash value life insurance. Okay? Take advantage of your future and what your tax advantages can and will be in the future. Forget taxes now. Everyone pay taxes. Most of us pay taxes and our taxes now, we're younger and we can work and we can, you know, adjust and move and do things. What happens when we retire? You got Social Security coming in. Yeah, great. So, you have your 401k from your job. That is tax deferred. That means when you go to take the money, when you retire, you will pay the taxes on it then. What tax bracket will you be in at that time? Your 403B. And there's many other qualified plans. What about your SEP IRA? Savings bonds, those are tax deferred. When are you going to look at things like you pay taxes today and it's all over? You don't have to pay taxes twice on the same monies. How do you eliminate debt? Very important. You have to eliminate the debt or it's going to come back to haunt you. So it's very important that we look at things, what we're doing, what our spendings are, what our outgoings are, and know how we're handling it. Because we have to save. How do we save and we don't have the ability to control our spending? It's important. It's very important to control our spending. Cash flow. How can we earn additional income? How can we earn additional income? Now, I spoke about education before. Can we pursue our dreams by getting a higher education? Are we stuck in that dead-end job, whereas there is no growth path, there's no promotions? When are we going to look? When are we going to step out of our comfort zone and go and look for another job, a better paying job? When are we going to think about ourselves? And I'm sure this is going to come over a bit selfish to many. When are we going to think about ourselves and go forward and look forward to doing things differently that best suit us and not our manager? When do you look at your current financial situation and say, I got a raise. Yeah, I got a raise. But how much of it am I seeing in my paycheck? What difference am I seeing in last year's paycheck and the year before paycheck to this year's paycheck? Is the employer really looking after me, or he's looking after his organization? Is the employer really taking care of me, or he's just mindful of his organization? We have to avoid the impact of taxes, losses, and inflation. We have to look at that. Every April 15, or by April 15, over the pandemic, the dates and the goalposts have been kicked around. But we Americans, we know we have to file taxes. There is some things that our accountants or our tax person don't tell us. Is it because they're not educated on it? Is it because they don't know or have experiences with it? But if you look at most, you will see that there are changes to the tax laws so very often. Why? How come you don't benefit from it? How come you're not seeing the impact of the changes? Why are you not a recipient of the updated law and tax guidelines? Why are you constantly losing money to the IRS? Inflation will be there. It will not change. It was there before you and I have born. There isn't going to be inflation. There are inflation. It is what it is. What provision we are making in life to see where we're going to be, how we're going to be, and what our financial commitment would be as inflation takes place throughout our lives. Let's look at a decade from now. Let's look at a decade gone by. Are you asking me to believe that a decade gone by, gas was $3.10 a gallon for regular? And a jug of milk was $2.54 for a gallon? We still need to drive our cars. 10 years ago, 10 years later, we still need calcium. We still need our cereal. We still need our tea and coffee for our hot lovers. My friend, I say to you that we need to accumulate and grow our assets for the future. We must grow our assets for the future. It's imperative that we grow our assets for the future, because cost of living are not waiting on us. When we put together a package, you sit with me and we put a package together, you'll be able to see where you are, where you should be, and where you need to be. If your financial advisor has a problem with those three stages of your life, now this is tax time. You could even engage your tax person. Where are you financially? Where you should be, and where you need to be, not want to be, need to be, to prepare for your financial legacy. After that conversation, call me. I promise you, you will be the most surprised person to understand how little adjustments you can make to have a savings, to create a financial legacy for your loved ones. I am absolutely, positively sure that after us sitting down and doing a financial DNA discovery, it's very simple. It's all information that you know. Nothing will surprise you. But it's all putting everything into a nutshell, bringing everything together, and you seeing the big picture. When you see the big picture, you will be able to determine how, when, why, and where your finances and what direction it will go. You have to consider asset accumulation for your retirement goals. How much money you want to live on when you retire? What the statistics show when you meet retirement age, what you need coming in? What is your annual contribution to make that possible? What is money you need to put away a year to make that possible? Don't we all want to live comfortably? Don't we all want to be able in our golden years to say, I had a good run. I enjoyed my life while I was working, and I'll continue to enjoy my life now I'm retired. It's called planning. Planning your financial legacy to be able to retire comfortably. And I'm a true believer, very much a true believer in savings. Do you have a trust? What is a trust? Do you have a will? I had someone said to me, "What? Why do I need a will?" That's a different topic. The hard and fast rule is very simple. You cannot accumulate wealth and leave it without protecting it. You must protect, whether it's $1 or $100 million, you must protect your investment. And to protect your investment, there are different avenues to do so. We need to understand, we need to have a financial education on protecting your investment. We need to understand how we are going to protect our investment. You know, there are premiums out there that are so low. Between a 16-year-old and an 85-year-old paying bare bones $50 a month. They're having long-term care, critical illness, chronic illness, terminal illness. $50. My friend, you walk across the street, and if you're young like me, and someone on a cycle, a pedal bicycle, run me over, my bones wouldn't break. It would shatter. I'm not able to work anymore. My friend, does that mean I sit and wait until Social Security deem me disabled? It may take 2 years, 3 years, even 5 years. How am I going to eat? How am I going to drink? How am I going to wear? And there's companies out there that are offering premiums as low as $50 a month. And I would not entertain that. I'm sorry. I think you're making the worst decision you can possibly make. Juveniles from 0 to 18, $50 per month with long-term care up to 4% of the face value. Uncapped index interest. Uncapped. What if that child never had the need to use that money from the cradle until an adult? How much savings, how much money will they build up? How much money they will accumulate? There are some companies out there that from age 18 to age 80 give you living benefit, low-term cost insurance without taking a medical, without doing any blood and urine, for $250,000, $249,999. Critical illness, chronic illness, terminal illness, and disability, right? It's all included. My friend, insurance have become so affordable that every person, every human being, sick, lame, lazy, bright, not so bright, every person should be have a coverage for insurance. There is no reason why people today should die intestate. There's no reason why today families should be fighting over the estates of their loved ones. There are different riders you can put on for your children to cover them. What if something happened? I just saw another school, there was a killing, people driving on the highway, there were shootings on the highway, hit a kid. I mean, what position those parents are in? If those parents don't have insurance in place to cover those children, either as a rider, child rider on their policy, on the parent policy, or a policy for the children. I know we don't like to put policies in our term because we believe that children are going to bury their parents. I'm a true believer of that. I'm a firm believer of that. But in this day and age, things have changed. Things have changed, my friend. When are we going to look at ourselves and decide that we need to make a change? If you can get a policy for $50 or $10, and that policy at $10 would be a slow burner, but it's a burner. The premium is a level-term policy. The value, the face value doesn't go up on the policy, nor the premium doesn't go up on the policy. When that child meets of age, do you sure that that child that's working it, that child is still insurable at that low rate? The child now goes to parties, you know, have a drink, you know, the things that they do when they're not around us. And then things happen, you know, fights break out, people get injured, you know, hospital visits. Then they start taking different medications, things like high blood pressure, diabetes. They're getting younger and younger now with these illnesses. I mean, I was looking at St. Juke the other day, look at kids having cancer more. You know, that's a critical illness. Is your child covered? Is your grandchild covered? What if a major transplant, an organ transplant. It's a critical illness. But while the child is alive, you can get 90% of the face value of that policy, up to $1.5 million. I think that's powerful. Because that child is going to need care. And we know what the healthcare system is like in this country. Don't let stifle our conscience. And when we can access that money to take care of our youths, our young ones, our young adults, we have the greatest assets of all, the ability to make a change in our lives so that we can make the provision in life for our future and our children's future. A critical illness. If you're unable to perform two duties, so everything you can do when you take out the policy, but you're ill to the point where you can't bath yourself, you become incontinent, you can't dress yourself, you can't eat, you can't use the toilet by yourself, now you're transferring. You got to transfer. For those who know, from one to another, a car to a wheelchair or a bed, a wheelchair to a bed, that kind of stuff, or to a bathroom, there's a transfer board. Your annual, up to 24%. Of the value of your policy you can get while you're alive. It's no longer die and your family get it. It's no longer why I'm doing this because my children is going to have it and they're not dutiful to me. It's if you get sick, what happens? If you become terminally ill, and a licensed physician determined that you're terminally ill and you got less than 12 months to live. Less than 12 months to live. You can get up to 90% of the face value of your policy. 90. The other 10 is to take care of your family, your final wishes. So why won't we have a life insurance? Now, some people would argue term insurance. I would argue whole life insurance. I like whole life insurance. Because I don't know when I'm going to die. I'm sure you don't know when you're going to die. I generally, unless there's an affordability issue, my argument is simple. Everyone should have a whole life policy. Because you don't know when you're going to die. There's a number of different flavors of whole life policies. There's some policies that pays for itself after some time of paying the policy. There's some policies that accumulate so much cash that it takes care of you, that you never have to touch the policy, depending on age and, you know, multiple factors. But these are things that we need to look at. My business owners, key person policies. It breaks my heart to see how many businesses went out of business and continue to go out of business because of the pandemic. Simply because the business owners never was advised or told about having a key person policy. We need to understand that there is insurance out there for everybody, from the cradle to just before the grave. And we need to invest in ourselves. No one is going to invest into us. We need to invest into ourselves. Okay? We have death benefits. Traditional death benefits pay up to $2 million. What are we doing? People are buying houses. They have children. They're not even looking at mortgage protection insurance. When they die, when they expire, are their loved ones in a position to maintain that mortgage, the taxes on that property? What are they leaving them with? The expense of a house? Well, the mortgage company would give you about 3 to 6 months to make some sort of an arrangement. But 99.99%, you don't make that mortgage payment, that house is in foreclosure. What have you done for your loved ones? What have you done for your dependents? We have to take into consideration that we can be disabled. We can be disabled. I heard a story of a man came out of the bathroom, creamed his skin, and was getting all dolled up for his wife. He put on his pajamas because he heard the doorbell ringing consistently. He looked out the window and saw it was his wife. This is a true story. He tripped on the foot of his pajamas. He tripped on the foot of his pajamas and came tumbling down the stairs. He was 72 years old. He broke his neck. He lived. My question is, what quality of life did he enjoy for the next 4 years that he lived with a broken neck in a wheelchair, can do for himself? He became a burden to his family because not only that he broke his neck, and they have to take care of him, but there's no money. There is no savings. There is no disability insurance. There was nothing left in place other than a life insurance payable a debt. A life insurance payable a debt. I always say to people, if you're 1 year old to 85 year old, the minimum you should have is a debt benefit. Funeral planning. That's the minimum you should have. And that's cheap. It's $10 a month. But if you feel that that is too much now, wait until the time comes when it's needed and it's not there. What embarrassing situation you're putting your loved ones in. So you should pursue financial independence. Maximize your tax advantages. Put funds away for college. Very, very important. I got three in college. If I didn't have a college fund set up for them, I would have had a little more gray hairs than I have now. Three at the same time. Think about building a savings for the unexpected expenses. I cannot stress that more. Explore your estate planning. It's your estate. Explore it. See what is out there for you. See what's available for you. Look at your living. Should you be disabled? You may never be disabled, but it's your money. But what if you become disabled? What do you have in place? Should you pass? What did you tell your family? Should they sell the house? What is your desire? Do you have mortgage insurance for them to keep the house? What did you put in place? Some of us, we work with some decent companies, and we get a bonus. We get commission above and beyond our salary. What do we do with it? Some of us, we get some inheritance. What do we do with it? Who ever think about long-term care? But when we get sick, we tend to burden our families with making that critical decision. And this decision surrounds finances. How are we going to pay for the long-term care? Because we never put it in place. I say to you, look at all your expenses. Give me a call. Let's sit down. Let's look at all your expenses. Look at your income. And see how, where. Is it taxable today? Is it tax deferred for later? Are we taking the most tax advantage that we can to put our money where it's accessible to us, where we most need it? Not when we need it, because we always need the money. I could give you a million reasons when you need money. But I am talking about true savings when you most need money, when something really happens, when you really have a problem. How do you find a solution to that problem without having to say anything to anyone? How do you do it? It's called planning. Create spending plans and budgets. Stay out of debt, my friend. Stay out of debt as much as you can. Think about what you would like your children to remember of you. Think about how you would like your grandchildren to remember you. If you run a small business, any business, put insurances in place. A number of things could happen. We just had a pandemic. We're still going through a pandemic. What if you get hurt on the job and you're the business owner? Are you saying to me, because you're the business owner and you get hurt, there goes the business? So, with those few words, I would like you guys to think about it, consider it, call me, 1-888-855-411-0424, and let's dialogue on your future planning.
Yeah, we got 18 minutes left, so I'll open all the mics in case anybody wants to chime in. You know, say a little piece, you know. So the mic is open for anyone to jump on.
I have a question.
Yes.
You talked about the insurance policies, and a lot of people now are saving within their insurance policies. Exactly how does that work? Because we hear advertising, people say that it's better to save within the insurance policy as far as the cash value is concerned than it is to actually be putting money into the bank. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, I can.
Is that true or false, or what are your thoughts on that?
That's a true statement. If you put the money in the bank, thank you for your question, sir. If you put the money in the bank, you will get somewhere between 0.001% to maybe 0.5%, okay? If you save the money in a life insurance, the minimum you will get on your money is 4.5%. Over the past 10 years, insurance company has been paying between 6 to 6.5% return on your money. That is what makes it so nice and easy to save with an insurance company, because your money is and guaranteed.
Thank you.
Is there any more questions?
The mic is still open. Does anybody want to ask any more questions?
Yeah. I'm watching television last night, and something I forgot. You know, it just brings some thoughts to my mind about finances, economy, governments, societies, and participated consumers. And so this is Black History Month, and they talked about how systemically the government had to change laws in order to allow Black African Americans in the 1950s and 60s to participate in insurance, whether it's insurance. The reason a lot of them were left out of buying homes, a lot of them left out buying policies, life policies, because of, and if they did get a policy, they didn't get a policy equal to the standard policies that the white Americans had. And so I'm saying to myself, coming forth now, we're really, a lot of people who are economically challenged are really behind in understanding insurances, having opportunity to participate and getting insurances, and then having the stigma of institutional racism that makes it harder for a black person with high blood pressure, who drinks, who smokes, to get a good policy with a good financial backing than a white person. So I'm just looking, my question is, how are we doing with equaling out the economic playing field where blacks get the same policies that whites get, as, you know, and my question is really is, what do they do to change the system so that the blacks can come concurrent to what the system is now? Because a lot of them are back because of the you know, discrimination and things that they had to go through. So now when you go into a policy right now, are you getting the equal policy that's really out there? Are you getting 100% of that policy, you know, because of this indiscretion of people? You know, because when the government, when the people look at you in a certain way, they give you the best policies there is based on your circumstances. But when the discriminatory process, they don't give you the 100% policy. Yeah. What have you found?
Okay, all right. Let me answer that the way I see it. Okay. Gone are the days when your ethnicity or nationality determines your policy. Okay. Somebody's phone is open. Somebody's open. Gone are the days where your ethnicity.
You gone?
Didn't have.
Okay. Policies are based on qualification. There are some policies that I can personally say are guaranteed issue policies. And a guaranteed issue policy, it's a little higher in premium, but it's for people that's taking out the policy after experiencing a chronic illness, a critical illness, or a terminal illness, or even disabled. But there are guaranteed issue policies that's available for people that are sick, as it would be, terminally ill, critically ill, chronic. They have a chronic illness. Okay. Now, no one in the insurance industry that I know of, none of the companies that I deal with or have dealt with, asks that the potent question that will determine ethnicity and or nationality in writing a policy. So, in my opinion, based on my experience, there is a level playing field in terms of issuing a policy or writing a policy. Is there any other questions? Is the line still open, Nate? Are we still on?
Yes, we are still on. We are still on, and we still have some more callers in the queue. We opened up the mic. We had to close them off because of the background noise. Please, everybody, be conscious of where you are, and if there's noise in the background and you're not speaking, please put your mic or your phone on mute, because we cannot hear. Like, it's not like right now somebody's in a restaurant or something. All right. Okay, so we're going to try to, well, let's find out where that noise is coming from.
Hmm? Me?
Okay, not there. If you're not speaking, please put your phone on mute.
Oh, my God. Oh,
all right. Yeah. We got to find out where that noise is coming from.
It was on speaker.
Okay, there we go. All right. The mics are open. We got about 12, maybe 11 minutes left before the end of the show. We have 678-485. Your mic is open. 770-615, your mic is open. 347-401, your mic is open. 973-592, your mic is open. 347-332, your mic is open. And we're opening up the mic of 770-615. All right, hopefully we're all engaged. We got just a few minutes left. If you have any questions,
615.
Yeah, I see. That's where the noise is coming from.
That's where the noise is coming
yes.
from. Yeah.
All right.
I put him on mute.
So we have just about 10 minutes left. Anybody got any comments, any questions, any input, anything that they want to share tonight before we move on?
No.
Hello?
Yes. Welcome to the call. Is that our engineer?
Yeah, that's me. That's me. I thought
somebody was coming. All right. Well, the mics are open. We have a packed house. Apparently, everybody is just in awe by all the jewels. All the jewels that was dropped tonight. And that's good, because I know you talked about some things about Gene. We normally don't get to talk about, a lot of people don't know about, especially about the insurance policies. I mean, we can go on and on and on. I spent a lot of years in the insurance industry, so I'm not going to debate with you tonight over a term policy versus whole life. We'll save that for another show. But we are grateful for all of the information. So, again, we have just about 9 minutes left. We're going to be here every Tuesday night. With the Eugene Financial Awareness Show. We want you to tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell everybody to tune in as we continue to develop. This is the first night that we're doing this show, and we want to encourage everybody to keep listening, to keep calling in, whether they're calling into the show, whether you're listening on your iPhone, listening on your iPad, on your laptop, your computer, however way you are getting this broadcast, we want to say thank you, and we're very gracious for you attending and be a part. Back to you, Gene. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Winborn. It's a pleasure hosting the show. I want to say good night to everyone. Thank you for listening. I hope I give you some great food for thought. Dr. Winborn, I would love any day to debate with you on term versus whole life policy. as my friend for multiple years, a few decades, I will say to you that I would love to have that debate, and I would prefer to have that debate live on the air.
So
we can educate our listening audience, because they might feel the same way you feel.
Right.
That's right.
And this would just be a good exercise. And I, if nothing else, at the end of the conversation, they will all be fully versed on the various policies from life, the term, the universal life, and the savings plan, the cash values, and double indemnities and all kinds of stuff at the end of the conversation.
Right.
So I look forward to it, you know, set it up. I'll be more than willing to come back and share with you that information and just kind of have some fun mm-hmm. with it. And,
sure.
You know, just play devil advocate on as many sides as we can. And I think it'll be very educating and
educational.
I'm planning to have a guest on our show next Tuesday. A surprise guest. How about that? A surprise guest on our show next Tuesday.
All right.
Who will be? We will be discussing more of the annuities aspect of financial services,
mm-hmm.
and we will be teaching people about savings plans. I shied away from it tonight for the simple fact that I needed someone that's familiar with it like myself or play with it like myself, so it can be more of an interactive discussion than a one-sided discussion. So next Tuesday, stay tuned, 7 p.m. to 9, there'll be a special guest on air to discuss the annuity side of things and how you can get involved and save money and be happy. With that being said, I'm going to wrap up by saying good night. Remember to call and book an appointment, 1-855-411-0424, and I'll see you next Tuesday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. You can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram for more words of wisdom on financial planning. I'm your host, Eugene Baez, financial advisor, saying good night.
And be well.
Be well.
Are you ready? Yeah. Wait a minute. I still don't think they've got it. Let's tell them one more time. Check it out.
Everybody needs to know that.
Good night.